From the four corners of Southern California, this is The Hot Seat, and you're in it with me, Max Schwartz. It starts right now. Today on the phone I have as the third candidate for the 62nd Assembly District seat to call into The Hot Seat, Simona Farese. How are you doing, Ms. Farese? Thank you very much for taking the time to call into The Hot Seat.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you. This is a continuation of the Hot Seats Candidate Series. I'd like to remind everyone that I will be sticking to my election protocol. I have lots of questions for the candidates and not a lot of time, so without further ado, let's get started.
Okay.
Why do you want to represent the 62nd District in the California State Assembly?
Well, the 62nd District, Assembly District, as well, includes 500,000 people. It is one of the most diverse districts in California in terms of people and their backgrounds, but also in terms of the substantive issues that we face. The 62nd Assembly District essentially faces every substantive issue of poverty, education, health care, jobs, environment, you name it, that America faces, save for snow. So it's a seat, an assembly seat, that really requires a representative that has a very large wingspan in terms of the ability and the background and the track record to tackle those very tough issues, keeping in mind the diversity of the district and what the priorities are.
It seems like in that response you just kind of explained the district and the seat, but you didn't actually say why you want to represent it.
Well, I want to represent it because people are hurting, because people need strong leadership in Sacramento. What we have seen and what we see, quite frankly, far too often is representatives who want to be politicians. I've been a lawyer, a civil rights lawyer by training, and I have represented people in court fighting for them for 20 years. And I don't necessarily want to be a politician. What I want to be is a strong voice for people. I want to roll up my sleeves and try and get to work on some of the issues that I care about. There are social issues. We have people, who are homeless. Our state, of course, has the largest number of poor children, of poor seniors, working men and women, which heavily populate this district, need to have living wage jobs as opposed to a handful of minimum wage jobs, which barely keep a roof over their head. We need to be smart. We need to move forward and support businesses that are going to be healthy for our community. We haven't necessarily done a good job of that. I am a business owner. I have offices in my firm throughout California. I started my firm 8 years ago, and I have approximately 30 people who I'm responsible for to make sure that they have a paycheck, twice a month, as well as represent my clients. So, I have that wingspan to roll up my sleeves and experience in life, really, to tackle these issues with the people in mind, with what they need in mind, to delve into the details, the fine print, if you will, of law. I have a background in business. I have a degree in accounting to delve into the fine details of the budgeting process and tax policy and how we generate revenues. What is the economic development that we want to support in our state?
Okay, so you want to be elected so you could help this district with all of the issues facing it.
Well, I want to help the district, but you can't help the district really without helping the state, because the job is in Sacramento, as you know, and there's really two big parts to it: making and changing laws, and the financial piece, which is generating revenues, setting policy, which is typically by tax policy and economic development. The second part of that, of course, is determining budget priorities, how we spend our money. We're certainly not, for instance, spending our money on the people who need it most. I'm the mother of three children, one in college, one in high school, and one in elementary school. And I know firsthand that we are not doing enough to provide the conditions for quality education, all accessible quality education for children. And we can see that more pronounced in the 62nd Assembly District.
Okay, and we'll talk about all of those issues in a moment. But what is your current occupation, and what have you done in the past that makes you believe you are qualified to serve in the legislature?
Currently, I am a lawyer. I represent people. I've been a lawyer for more than 20 years. My practice has been varied, but it has always included really two things: trying to help people who need it navigate the civil justice system, and trying to be on the right side of justice. So I have represented clients who have been exposed to poisons and toxins at work or in their environment because they live downwind from a emission source. I've represented people who have been poisoned in their homes and in their neighborhoods because of toxins which were brought home from work and literally into their households, and those include lead, asbestos, benzene, and arsenic, for instance.
Okay. And in your previous response, you said you're a civil rights lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
What are you? What is the scope of that practice?
The scope of that practice has been representing men and women who have been subjected to illegal gender and race discrimination, race and gender harassment, in unfair practices as it relates to compensation, not paying them appropriate and consistent with state labor laws, firing them, for instance, if they become disabled, a whole host of things. I've also done and represented people in anti-consumer type cases where people have been the victims of mortgage fraud, those kinds of things.
Okay. And early in your first response, you had said that you got the wingspan to tackle all the various issues that mm-hmm. affect the 62nd District. Why do you believe that?
Well, because again, it's an election, but essentially it ought to be a job interview, right? So you have to look at what is the job. On the one hand, and it's two big parts, like I said, the first part is to make laws and to change laws and policies and complicated regulations. So I do have an educational background that supports that. I have a business degree from DePaul University in accounting. I have a law degree. It has been my career for more than 20 years to navigate the fine print, to navigate the complexities of law, to use those laws as an advocate. But now the question is, what are the ones that are appropriate for what we do? The second part of the job is to deal with the financial piece, supporting economic development that's going to be positive and healthy and generate a consistent revenue stream for the state, so that we can do the other piece of the other financial piece, which is budgeting, and we can fully fund, for instance, our education system. We can fully fund our court system. Many people don't realize, but the court system basically is closing down for lack of funding in California, and that really just can't happen in a vibrant democracy for a state as large as California. So my wingspan includes, number one, the educational piece. It includes 20 years on the ground of representing people and using those tools. It includes being a business owner myself. I used to, before I started my own business 8 years ago, I was the managing partner of another business that was responsible for approximately 100 employees. So understanding how small companies and medium-sized companies actually work and what it takes to keep them hiring, what it takes to keep them thriving, what it takes to keep them healthy is something that I have specific experience with in my own life.
And you say you have an education background. What is that education background? Because you didn't mention it in either of your responses.
I'm sorry. I have a law degree from Golden Gate University in San Francisco. I have an advanced law degree, actually, in social justice from the University of California, Berkeley School of Law. I would also say that the wingspan, if you will, includes being the mother of three and navigating, as I said, their education, their opportunities. My oldest daughter, and so I going through getting myself educated. I came from a very poor community. I was born and raised on the South Side of Chicago. My father was a teamster. My mother was a transit worker. I went to school at night for 8 years, and then I went to law school, and I had to pay for all of that myself. I got out of law school with nearly $100,000 in student loans. So my wingspan includes life as well, understanding what people go through, then trying to pay off my own student loans, and of course, providing educational opportunities for my children, which is really, quite a challenge that most people have. I'm proud to say that, my children are doing well. My daughter, oldest daughter, is graduating this year from college, graduating from Stanford University. We're very proud of that. My son is graduating from high school, and I have a 9-year-old who is somewhat challenged with her learning styles, and we are navigating that. I've navigated that with my husband as a parent through public education and try to just, you know, and all kinds of educational systems to try and do the best for my children. That's what parents do every day. In addition, my life wingspan includes, you know, aging parents who are suffering very serious illnesses. My mother right now is battling cancer. She's a pensioner, and among the issues that we talk about is working men and women just like her who've spent their whole lives, working hard, and now it's their time. And there's a movement, of course, to try and reduce those pensions. So between my educational background, my professional experience, my personal experiences to myself, my life experiences being a mother and being now a daughter, I have a big wingspan of dealing with these issues personally, and they are very much the issues that people in the 62nd Assembly District want someone who can step up and who can speak for them and say, you know, let's find some solutions and let's move forward in a very positive way, in a better way, in a way that promotes healthy families, healthy communities, education, jobs, healthcare, the things that we most care about.
Okay. And why should 62nd District residents trust you?
Well, because I have a track record. I started, as I told you, really fighting for myself, fighting my own way, finding my own way out of poverty and the issues that come with that. My clients have, you know, been my focus as a professional for more than 20 years. So I have a track record that they can look at, that they can see, that this is a person, that this is a candidate, this is a mother, this is a woman who has stood up and actually fought for the things that she has believed in, put her money where her mouth is, spoken out, used her talents, used her legal training, whatever it happens to be, to try to make a difference for, you know, issues and people and things I care about. And, you know, okay. So it's there.
Okay. And will you take campaign donations from special interest groups and or corporations?
So will I take campaign donations from? I haven't. My campaign has been largely funded myself, which is a transparency issue. You know, I've had to put in a lot of my family's own savings, but it's transparent. They know that voters can know that I put money in myself. They know where I live. They know who I am and what I care about. The problem, of course, with corporate PACs and things like that, which some of the candidates in this race are heavily funded by, is we don't know who those people are. That money is all comes from secret donors. We don't know if it's given by people who live in the 62nd Assembly District or somewhere else. We don't know what their agenda is, and we don't really know what their skin in the game is.
So is that no to the answer?
I'm sorry?
Is your answer then no, you will not take campaign donations from special interest and or corporations?
Well, I guess it's such a broad question. I hate to never say no, because, for instance, there are women's groups. I am a fighter for women's rights, and there are some women's groups, and I don't know if they fall into this category that you have put them in, who really want to make sure that the war on women really has people who understand that we cannot roll back the gains that we have had. So if that fits into that, it could be that, you know, that there may be a donation that I take from that group. But what I can tell you is that I won't be taking donations from groups, because they are essentially buying and paying for my views, buying or paying for my vote on anything. I am an independent. I'm going to Sacramento. I want to go to Sacramento because people in the 62nd Assembly District need a voice for them. Individual people who right now do not have a voice. Their priorities are not part of the discussion. And they are essentially left behind more times than not in the legislative agenda, and we have got to make a change and go in a different direction.
Okay. If a resident was to come up to you and ask why he or she should vote for you, what would you say?
I would say you should vote for me because I am running to represent you, to make sure that our community here in the 62nd Assembly District is a healthy community, and that means that we have living wage jobs. That means that we don't have people living on the street. That means that our children have the conditions and the funds at the local level to create the conditions of to be successful in their education, so that they too can have opportunities in their lives and have the full promise, if you will, of the American dream. You should vote for me because I, like you, understand that we can't leave our seniors behind, that we have got to be strong advocates for them. They are very vulnerable. They need health care. They need decent and safe housing and treatment. Elder care is a huge issue, which I didn't mention earlier, but I have tackled in my practice. Our seniors are among the most vulnerable that we have in our state, but we also have to be smart and we have to join with business, and that takes skills. It takes real documented skills to sit down with businesses and help businesses that are going to bring jobs, which are going to move our community forward.
Okay.
So whatever it takes to have a healthy community, that is what I am focused on. We also have complex problems in the 62nd Assembly District. We have the challenge of transportation. LAX Airport is situated in this district. It has had a number of kind of short-term Band-Aid solutions, mm-hmm. but we have got to get a handle on what is going to be a viable modernization plan for an airport which is so strategically situated, but right now
I have to stop you just because we're going to get there, and I have to stop you because we are way over on the amount of time I wanted to spend on talking about this. And I got one more for you, and if you can try to keep it short, that would be fantastic. If not, I understand. And if a resident was to come up to you and ask how you would improve quality of life in AD 62, what would you say?
Well, quality of life in AD 62 is going to start with, number one, dealing with some of our largest public safety issues. Homelessness is huge. We know how to solve homelessness. We can't take it as sort of one size fits all. There's different reasons why people are homeless. Number two, we've got to improve our education system in AD 62, and that starts at the very beginning, early childhood education through elementary, which then leads to a viable pipeline for opportunities through higher education. And we have got to have a focus on economic development as well as protecting our seniors.
Okay. And moving on now, and you've sort of already answered this question, if you are elected, what would your priorities be?
My priorities would be getting a handle on our public safety concerns, which do include keeping our community safe, tackling the huge problems of homelessness. It would be health care for our seniors. It has to include an education component so that we are educating our children to lead this state tomorrow. And it also has to include economic development and sustaining the businesses, which are good community partners, and also encouraging new businesses and new industries to be here, not underutilizing, for instance, our intellectual capital and our entrepreneurship and the innovation that really already sits here in the 62nd Assembly District.
And how do you plan to do all of those?
Well, it is the job that you do. So it depending on which piece you're talking about, lots of this comes in the second part of the job, which is the financial piece. In order to promote and sustain the businesses that we have here, we have a lot of things that we can do in terms of tax policy, for instance. We can encourage companies to partner with our youth. We can encourage companies to expand and begin vocational training programs to train our residents to fill the jobs which they have, which they claim they're not able to engage the workforce to meet. We can say to companies, for instance, if you take people who have been unemployed in the long term and you put them back to work and you train them because you know exactly what skills you need, we will partner with you in a couple of ways. We will provide educational resources. And in addition, we may give you a tax break because you are contributing to making our community healthier. And in the long term, we're going to have more people who can contribute to the tax base. Secondly, as it relates to education, we've restored some education funding to what were the minimal levels, but it's not enough, right? So our per pupil spending has to increase across the board if we're going to have and get back to the world-class educational system that we have previously enjoyed in California. We have got to be smarter with our money right now. Of course, we spend $50,000 a year to imprison people where we know that we could spend $20,000 a year to educate them and stop that cycle of crime and stop that cycle, which actually leads to unhealthy communities. So there are a lot of choices that get made in Sacramento, and the choices that we make, whether it be in our budgeting, whether it be in our tax policy, whether it be in our economic development incentive, or whether it be in the law, and the law piece is huge because it covers every kind of law that touches every single activity that you can imagine. We make choices, legislators make choices, and we have to make them in support of healthy communities and people in our state, or we will make some of them in support of, you know, the largest campaign donors. And unfortunately, we've seen too much of the latter, and I'd like to make sure that we have a strong voice for the people.
And in terms of education, do you want, then, the state of California's Department of Education to take over some of the schools in the 62nd District?
No, because we understand that communities that do well when the control is at the local level. So the state of California's Department of Education certainly has a role, but it cannot have the primary role. Sacramento cannot dictate to local communities, which have decidedly local populations, decidedly local learners, decidedly local issues, what needs to occur. 62nd Assembly District is such a great example of that, where, for instance, we have numerous, I think the last I heard was more than 50 primary languages spoken for children who would come to school to be educated in the 62nd Assembly District. Well, that's vastly different than some other districts in the state. So to suggest that the state, in large part, which is setting state policy, would be in the best position to tackle those unique issues of local education, especially at the elementary school level, is not the best practice in my view.
Okay. And the 62nd Assembly District is very diverse and includes different cities and different populations. What will you do to balance the wants and needs of the entire district rather than one portion of the district in terms of population and the cities that make up AD 62?
Well, that is part of certainly the challenge of AD 62. And the communities are very different, both in terms of their leadership, which you hit on, both in terms of their socioeconomic demographics. Some parts of the 62nd Assembly District have 30% of its residents living below the poverty line. Other parts of the 62nd Assembly District are leading the state in some ways in economic development, in the tech sector, in the biotech sector, et cetera. We haven't, as leaders, done a very good job of actually introducing the various parts of our diverse community to one another. So there's opportunities there. What will I do? I will sort of look at where we are weak and certainly figure out what are going to be the strategies that are going to improve and support, improve the health, whether it be economic health, whether it be physical health, whether it be worker health in terms of getting jobs. But we do have the tools that we need if we roll up our sleeves and do the work in the 62nd Assembly District. We have, for instance, companies that can expand here and can train a workforce to do their jobs literally within the 62nd Assembly District, but we have got to engage those leaders and make the case for them that it's a good thing for the companies because that will make them viable, and it is a good thing for the communities that they operate in, and show them that these policies and these programs can occur. There are programs in the 62nd that are working. Many of them are private partnerships. Many of them are community organizations, not necessarily supported by government, but government does have a role in enhancing what is working, expanding what is working, and giving more support and new programs or new ideas or new practices to things that are definitely not working and people are hurting.
Okay, but in terms of the district, if one half the district wants something, but the other half the district, or one part of the district wants something, but another part doesn't, what are you going to decide? How are you going to decide what you do, and what would you choose?
Well, it's a question that to me sounds a lot like what do you do as the mother of three when you have competing interests. So as the mother of three, I have, as I said, a kid in college, one in high school, and one who's 9 years old. And so we have, like the state has, limited resources, and we have to make tough decisions. So we have to figure out, not necessarily, especially in challenging economic times, which we really do, not what people want, but what does the district need and what really are the priorities? Because you have to make hard choices. You have to make hard decisions. I would prioritize decisions in favor of keeping people working, decisions in favor of increasing and enhancing our public safety, decisions that are in support of increasing and enhancing the quality of our education and expanding that, because those are investments in our future.
I apologize, but I don't believe you answered my question, because let's say, for example, if El Segundo and Inglewood areas want something but Venice and Marina del Rey does not, what would you choose to do?
I guess it depends on what the something is, right? Okay. So to try and basically say, you know, these people want this and they don't, other than saying to you, there's always going to be competing interests. That's true in a family, which is what I just raised, and that's going to be true in a community. So you have to look at the overall community and what is going to contribute to the health of that community. What people want is certainly something to be considered, but how that fits into the overall picture is exactly the value judgment, the decision-making that legislators have to engage in. So if you want to give me something particular, I'm happy to address that. But just generally speaking, two competing groups, that's a garden variety challenge that is going to exist day in and day out.
Okay. And continuing on along the same lines, what will you do to lessen or bridge the divide between El Segundo and its portion of the South Bay with the rest of the district?
Can you say the question again?
What will you do?
Is that what you said?
Yes. What will you do to lessen or bridge the divide between El Segundo and its portion of the South Bay with the rest of the district?
I don't know that I can agree with you that there is a divide. There are some that is squarely El Segundo, because the district is very diverse. Generally speaking, the general, I guess, thinking is that El Segundo is more conservative. I actually have met with several groups in El Segundo, and what I find for the people who actually live there is they really want the same things from their leaders as people want in other parts of the district. They want to have good quality schools for their children. They want to have the dream of home ownership and the stability of home ownership in their communities. They want to have public safety. They want to have fiscal responsibility for that in Sacramento. People in El Segundo really want, it seems to me, the same things that people in other parts of the district want. So I'm not sure I can agree with you that there is a, quote, divide. What I would say is that you do tend to have a more conservative electorate in El Segundo, and that's great. So that may mean that, you know, how they get to the same place may be a different approach, but I don't think that the things that they ultimately want are any different than what other people in other parts of the district also want in terms of the basics.
I'm not necessarily saying that either. I just mean that there is sort of a divide, because it's mm-hmm. not it's in the South Bay, and I have mm-hmm. heard from El Segundo residents that they are mm-hmm. upset that their district is grouped in with parts that are with, I guess, cities that are not part of the South Bay.
Mm-hmm. So, for instance, a decidedly El Segundo issue, which may be much more of a priority than, you know, maybe other parts of the district, Venice, although it's hard for me to see that, would be the airport. For instance, the airport impacts us all. If you live in the east side of the district, then you are in the flight path of LAX Airport. I'm near the airport. El Segundo is the only city that has an operating refinery. So there are particular issues as it may relate to, for instance, environmental emissions, groundwater contamination, and those issues are very specific. El Segundo is on the coast. It's one of the few cities, so is Marina del Rey and Venice, that actually has uniquely coastal issues. But in terms of the sort of basic values and basic priorities, wanting to have good schools, wanting to have jobs that support families, home ownership, health care for seniors, it's not exclusive of what other residents in the district want, including myself.
And speaking of refineries, do you support mm-hmm. Senator Mitchell's proposed moratorium on fracking?
I support Senator Mitchell's proposed moratorium on fracking. It probably as a larger issue, it raises a larger issue. So the first part that you ask is easy, but it does raise a larger issue, the fact that she's having to introduce a moratorium on a practice that is untested and has no data, but certainly puts people's communities and lives at risk. one of the things...
All I asked for was a yes or no. I'm sorry, but because of time, I have to interrupt that answer. And I'd like to know, Skipper, I want to ask about the propositions. Are you for or against Proposition 41 or 42? And it's a one-word answer for both.
I'm for Proposition 41, and I am for Proposition 42.
Okay. And one last question, because we are very close to running out of time, and that is, what will you do to help bring additional opportunities to the people of Inglewood and Hawthorne?
A large amount of the public safety concerns and of the job issues and certainly of the educational opportunities are concentrated disproportionately at times in those districts. So in terms of education, we have to put more money into education in Hawthorne and Inglewood, as well as in other communities. The per pupil spending has to go up because, again, you have a much larger pool of diverse learners because of the language issues, among other things, in those communities. So to simply have the same amount of per pupil spending that you might have in other parts of the state is probably not enough to get the job done. We need to invest more in our public safety because we have, you know, information and data that tells us that the impact of not enough public safety in terms of smarter solutions, for instance, smarter solutions to homelessness, smarter solutions to trying to support people who are really trying to get their lives back on track. We have a number of enhanced health care challenges in certain parts of the district, the ones that you named. So those kind of things are going to take more resources if we are going to make a significant impact, which we absolutely must do, and I'm absolutely committed to that. That is why I'm running. Those communities that you described in large part are very much like the community that I grew up in the south side of Chicago, hardworking men and women who are doing their part, and government needs to do more.
Okay, thank you very much for that, and thank you very much for joining me in the hot seat today, Ms. Faris. It was a pleasure. The Hot Seat After Hours starts right now. You can email the Hot Seat inbox at thehotseatwithmaxschwartz@gmail.com, or you can tweet me at maxschwartztv. You can also read and follow my blog at maxschwartztv.blogspot.com. You can subscribe to the Hot Seat newsletter by clicking on the link on our page. Go to annenbergradio.org/podcast and click on the link underneath the Hot Seat description and enter your email address. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll join me next time with Board of Supervisor candidate Bobby Shriver.